Passion and desire can attract everything you want in life. Passion by Design is a show about designing a life of passion. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we're the authors of a concept and a book called Passion by Design. Our book and our show is about enhancing your life. We'll be talking about your home, your relationships, your body, your spirit, and anything else that you want to talk about.
And we're here with you live every Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 to discuss living life fully through the senses here on AM 1240 KNRY. We'd love to hear from you. Call in and join us at 831-373-1234. Well, hi, Sandy.
Hello, Paula. That was cutting it close, and you made it.
Well, yes, we just had a little adventure. I just literally slid into my chair. There was an accident on the road. And it really kind of makes you think how you handle things and how you hold things and what you do. And I wasn't sure that I would be sitting here when we started the show.
Yes, and, but there you are. And I just got back from Italy.
Yes.
And it was a three-day adventure of returning, trying to get airplanes, missing connecting flights, luggage lost. But I have to tell you, every bit of it was worth the time that I had in Italy. And, you know, you and I were just talking on the phone just before we went on the air about, you said, what was my favorite moment when I was there? And I would have to say it was the opportunity to sort of gear down and reconnect with the simpler pleasures in my life. And I remember having that moment where I felt that I could breathe. And it was when we first arrived in Tuscany and we were able to stay at an agriturismo, a vineyard,
She's got the Italian accent going on. Good job, Sandy. I said you've got the Italian accent going on.
Oh, did I?
Good girl.
Well, it's been a lot of time, 2 weeks of saying grazie.
Grazie molto. Oh.
But anyway, we sat amongst the vineyards, and I was having a glass of wine, and I remember this little dog, Luna, came up and wanted to be friendly, a little scruffy little terrier, and we were feeding her little bits of cracker, and the owner of the vineyard had poured us a glass of his wine. And there were birds everywhere building nests. It was springtime, and everywhere you could hear the songbirds, just so glorious. The church bells started to ring, and we were just a quarter of a mile from San Gimignano, the 13th century town up on the hill, and the church bells started to ring, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. This is the moment that I was looking for, and here it is. I can breathe. And I felt this calming come over me, and I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have these experiences in our own homes? You know, how do we repattern our lives to be able to incorporate that into our daily lives?
You know, Sandy, it's so funny that you mentioned church bells, because it probably was when you were listening to the church bells, knowing how connected you and I are.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my bedroom, and I'm fortunate enough to live way out in Carmel Valley and look out the window to this magical green swath of this artist's palette of greenery. And for some reason, I had this thought, wouldn't it be lovely to have church bells? I haven't thought about church bells in years, but you were probably enjoying the church bells, so I must have picked up on that.
Perhaps. Well, there's something very calming about them, listening to them and waking up to the sound of them in the morning. It's like, just for me, it triggers a reminder that we are held in the arms of such a greater power. And it just is like one of those little triggers. Oh, that's right. I remember now.
Exactly.
Life is very good.
And we're so lucky today, and I'm so happy you're back. It's just delightful. I really missed you, and yet I was connected to you, obviously, over those 2 weeks. But we're very lucky today to have Dr. Gary Richmond be our guest. And he's a gentleman whom I've met fairly recently, but I have the pleasure of sharing a yoga class with his beautiful wife, Lisa. And that was the connection. And he is so delightful and like-minded. I'm just delighted to welcome him to the show today and hear some of his thoughts about making choices in what I'm just going to boldly say is a difficult time. I know we often try to skirt around it and say, oh, it's challenging and it's this and the other. I'm just going to say it's difficult.
Yeah, so, I think that's a good way to do it.
Dr. Gary Richmond, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paula. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Gary.
And we are really thrilled and delighted because you are a pro at this. You've had your own show on this very same station for 4 years, didn't you?
Yes, Dr. Bill Little and I did a show called Heart and Soul, which was kind of like Deepak Chopra meets Wayne Dyer.
And so, and I won't ask which one you were.
I was the Wayne Dyer, actually. But it was great in terms of bringing spirituality and psychology together in terms of how do you walk life and kind of walk your talk.
So what would you say, because you and I talked about this a bit, what would you say is a starting point for our conversation today? Because there's so much to cover, and, you know, we had talked a bit about the myth of the American dream, if you will. Why don't you start there?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the universe always works perfectly. And
even in traffic?
Even. And we're both here.
And you did a very clever thing to get here, by the way.
Thank you. It's having grown up in L.A., you learn the shortcuts.
Sandy, he did a U-turn and snuck around and had this magical route and got here and was sitting here quite calmly in the station when I arrived.
Oh, that's smart.
That was good.
That is an L.A. driver.
That is. So as a transpersonal psychologist, which means bringing together the aspect of traditional psychotherapy and spiritualism, actually, I believe that things work as they're supposed to. And Sandy brought us right to the conversation. You know, how do you deal with difficult times? One of the things you did, Sandy, was get a reminder by being in the calm and probably resonating place for you of Italy and realizing to sit and breathe and to sit and reflect. And even as Paul is saying, listen or imagine listening to the church bells, which brings you back kind of to spirit and kind of those archetypal, which are kind of the old stereotypes that go back to caveman days of what brings us back to center. And what spiritualists talk about is being in spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. Psychotherapy is a spiritual practice of walking more toward consciousness. And you said, Sandy, you know, how do we do this? How do we bring this back? And the simple answer is to do exactly that. To take time to breathe. Mm-hmm. I teach my patients all the time that breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth is a way to center into the body. When we breathe in and out from the nose, sometimes that's working yoga in terms of a working meditation or just breathing. I have a lot of physicians who I'll say, you need to breathe. And they go, I'm breathing. I'm alive. And I go, you're breathing and living. I'm not sure you're alive.
Yeah, good point.
And so breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth is a practice to remind yourself to take that moment to step back into your body, step back into the resonance of where your soul and being live instead of the intellect that drives us so hard and causes people to sigh all the time because they're out of touch with their body and what they really feel.
You know, that's interesting.
You said the word sigh.
Yes. Go ahead, Sandy.
Really interesting because I remember my therapist telling me that when I was going through a lot of I had the pleasure of going through therapy for 10 years and wouldn't have cut it short for anything because it was the most incredible restructuring of my life ever. And I remember she said, you know, she used to point out when I was sighing. What does that indicate?
Well, typically for me, the way I let people that I work with know is that when you're not, again, breathing into your body, when you're not checking into what's going on with your feelings, and what's so for you? Because again, wishes, desires, hopes, intentions, all come, and goals, all come from that place inside the body is feeling. The brain is just a wonderful computer to manifest that in the tangible world. Mm-hmm. And so when you're only in your head, as we are taught in Western society, to stay more in our intellect, to work more from our thoughts, be linear and logical, mm-hmm. don't attend to your truth and your focus and your intentioning, which all come from inside the body where the feelings reside. When you don't do that, your body doesn't get enough air and it's burdened by the feelings you're not attending to. And so it's like you have a foot on your chest. And so people keep sighing, attempting, one, to get the air in there, but there's not much room because they're not giving it the expansive focus of its due and stay more in their head.
Wow.
You can hear me breathing here. That was what Dr. Gary said to me when I raced in and settled in my chair. He said, breathe. I'm like, thank you.
You know, I say that if a bunch of my patients were at a cocktail party and somebody said, you know, my therapist tells me they breathe, they'd all go, oh, you go see Dr. Gary.
You know, I think that's one of the paradoxes, and I find paradoxes fascinating. It is so simple and yet not easy.
Well put.
And I think that as the human creature, magnificent animal that we are, it's almost like we want it to be harder. What? It's that easy? All I have to do is breathe? It can't be this easy. I have to go make it hard.
Well, what's the old saying? If it's too good to be true, it probably is. If, you know, you have to work hard to get places. Well, you do. You have to work tenaciously. But the other saying is work smart, not hard.
One of my personal favorites.
Exactly. And so we're brought up, and especially when we're enveloped, as we are over the last many years, in fear. Mm. And fear is a constrictor. And when we constrict and we're fearful, we get small. We want security. We want to be safe. And we kind of bundle down and close up. And in that constricted place, we don't breathe. Mm-hmm. And so what people do is start getting caught in their logic of how do I somehow escape the fear or deal with it. And that's where you see people sighing, not breathing, and kind of running in a kind of panicked, hopeless sense that you see recently with the economy and things that have been going on since 9/11.
Right. Right. Boy, you're right. I was really thinking in the past 3 years – since Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs. But you're right. It has been really a shift. And you know what I call it is a loss of innocence for the American people. We have been so, I think, blessed and just charging on our merry way with such a beautiful naivete, in a way, of life is good and we can create what we want. And we got kind of a slap in the face big time on that day. And I think it's forever changed us.
It has. And unfortunately, the political environment also wants to enhance that, because if you're fearful and they act like they have some kind of solution, you're going to want to go with them. And so there's been a lot of perpetuating of that. And we forget that no matter what is going on in the world, intentioning and a sense of working from the inside out in terms of what it is you want and how to do it can't be hooked up in the fear, because if you get caught up in the fear, you go linear. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you go linear and get caught in the panic of the masses, you're lost.
Mm-hmm. So what are some practices that you are sharing with your clients? You've given us a beautiful one, the breathe. And I mean, I can feel it in my own body as I'm sitting here, just breathing. And it calms you down. It slows your heart rate. It centers you. It just actually feels really good, you know. What would be another practice that you are sharing with your clients in this time?
Well, one of the things that psychotherapy and spiritual practice both facilitate is consciousness. Mm-hmm. As Thich Nhat Hanh says, it's to be mindful. Mm-hmm. When they kept asking the Buddha later parts of his life, who are you? And he kept saying, I really don't want to answer that. And finally someone said, no, really, who are you? And he said, awake. And so we need to stay awake. We get caught up in the fears. And so what happens is you start going outside of yourself. And what you said is very true, Paula. Mm-hmm. When we step into our inner sense of knowing, our inner sense of truth, and follow that truth, first of all, that barometer never lies. Mm-hmm. And so to do that, though, we have to get quiet. And it is the easy thing, but never and it's very glorious in terms of its outcome, mm-hmm. but you really have to take a breath and start focusing. It's why meditation, spiritual practice, psychotherapy are weekly or daily, mm-hmm. because you have to keep reminding yourself in a world that you walk in that says, don't do that. That doesn't mean anything.
Don't take the time.
Yes, that's silly. What's your logic tell you?
You're wasting your time. It's not going to do any good anyway. Well, Sandy, I think you are a perfect example of intention And your story is so beautiful about, you know, what you started doing a year ago. So share with us a little bit, if you would, about
that. Well, you know, Paula, you and I talk so often about how do people reinvent themselves or restructure their lives. And I know I'm one of those people that has had, by circumstance, been forced to constantly look at my life and restructure it and reinvent myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is one of those things that is not always easy, but there's such a sense of accomplishment when you go through that transition and you're on the other side and you realize, wow, I did that. I really did it. And one of the things that I realized about, well, now more than a year ago, probably almost two, I had to start breathing again, and I had to start getting connected with my spiritual self again, and I had to start looking at what was my intention for the rest of my life. And I knew that I had to make some changes in my life to make room for these changes to take place, for the ultimate goal of what I had hoped to have in my life. And so I started doing a lot of reading, a lot of meditation, a lot of analyzation, and I started writing down things that I wanted to have happen in my life. And I opened the door for the most beautiful relationship that it's a dream come true. You know, I have this wonderful man in my life now, and we're getting married, and we went to Italy, and that was on my list of things that I wanted to do in my life, is go back to Italy. I'd been there before. And you and I, Paula, were there for
yes.
the first time when we were 16 together.
That's right.
And so all of a sudden, I really had this feeling that it's like Glenda, the good witch, you had the power within you all along. I realized that here I am. I have the power to structure my life, and I didn't feel like I was a victim of society or my upbringing anymore.
Well,
and that's what I love about what Gary, you're doing with your therapy, is that from everything that I've read, it sounds like you're addressing those things that seem to hold us in handcuffs, our childhood system, as you call it.
Absolutely. What you're talking about is exactly the important thing, is to go back to self. Mm-hmm. We start running around like chickens with our heads cut off, looking for outside answers. And what you did was take a moment and step back inside. And that's so important. And if, as you said, Paula, what are some of the things to do? There could be people listening going, you know, if they mention spirituality one more time, I'm turning the show off. You know, so
exactly.
Let's make it even more tangible and linear. Things that people need to do are, first of all, the simplest thing is remember who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your own history in terms of what works for you. Breathing is something we're inviting you to do. But one of the mm-hmm. things you could do mm-hmm. is sit back and decide, what are things that have made you successful in your mm-hmm. life? What are your attributes? What are your strengths? What has worked for you in the mm-hmm. past? I had a dentist one time who had a really good practice, and he went into a really bad tailspin. And one of the things I taught him was to say, look at your own history. Have you ever not had patients coming in? He said, no. I said, rely on that. In essence, have faith in that a la yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that people need to do. They also need to remember, one, what is it that is their passion?
Mm-hmm.
Because passion is our focus of what are our gifts. Things we do easily come from passion, come from the gifts we come into life with.
Mm-hmm.
And to remember what those are, number one, is important. To number two, also remember what it is that allows you to feel good
mm-hmm.
and to play.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Stuart Brown is a psychiatrist actually in this area
yes.
who has written a book mm-hmm. on play and mm-hmm. is developing seminars on helping especially baby boomers to remember how to play.
Oh.
And it's one
Sign
of
me up. I'm there.
There you go.
Of course, I love to play. I don't need a seminar on it.
Good for you. And seeing being able to have that light and hold that light,
yes.
Paula, is something that serves you well. And you can see that light
yeah.
when I look at you.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have either lost it or forget about it.
Well, I think it gets overlaid with fear.
Yeah.
Jerry Jampolsky actually mm-hmm. said he wrote a book, and in it he says the opposite of love is fear.
Mm-hmm. Love is letting go of fear.
And you either Ooh. Need you either in fear or you're in love.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd much rather be in love. It's a whole lot more fun.
Good choice.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know,
it's a whole lot more fun.
Gary, one of the things that in this process that I always wonder about is, how do you teach couples to weather these periods of time together?
Well, that's a really good question, Sandy. And one of the things that I was mentioning to Paula was you guys talk about that in your book. Mm-hmm. You know, your book on Passion by Design is about recreating, reformatting, if you will, and even recreating new defaults to what is our passion, is our liveliness, and our connectedness. Mm-hmm. Couples forget when in stress to be able to work with one another and support mm-hmm. one another. You know, that old saying, unfortunately, you only hurt the one you love, holds true. You figure they're not going to leave, so you hurt them in ways because you're just letting out stuff, mm-hmm. almost, you know, vomiting stuff that you're not attending to or working through in whatever process you use to work things through, from therapy to meditation, whatever it is. And so couples need to remember to check in. They need to remember to talk. And when people get into fear, then you start taking it out on the person mm-hmm. that you're with, and therefore people get further and further apart. And what I keep saying is, if you don't attend to the different pebbles that dent the marriage, all of a sudden after 10 years, you got a wall.
Mm. Very true.
And you need to start attending to that by taking each stone, or at least a handful, and starting to process with the person you're with. Mm-hmm. Where have we forgotten? What is it that connected us? What is mm-hmm. it that brought us together? What is it that we have fun with? What is it that allows us to feel passionate?
Mm-hmm.
John Gray, Men from Mars, Women from Venus, I ask couples all the time to either rent the video or read the book together. Mm-hmm. And to remember that it isn't that he came up with rocket science. What he did is he reminded us what the baby boomers' parents knew, which is we're from different planets. And we don't process anything the same.
That is very, very true.
Yes.
That is really true. You know, we're going to go and have a brief break in a moment. But when we come back, I would like to address, and Sandy, this topic of the couples is so important, and I'm glad you raised it. Finance seems to be just looming large. It's just giant for many of us. So I'd like to take a quick break, and we'll talk about then when we get back. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Dr. Gary Richman. He's just wonderful, got a lot of great ideas and insight for us, and he won't keep saying just spirituality, I promise. And this is Passion by Design, designing and living a life of passion on AM 1240 KNRY on historic Cannery Row.
Do you want to get into the best shape of your life? My name is Ellen Bradley Gannis, and I've actually helped thousands of people not only transform their body, but improve their health and the way they feel every day. Fad diets are unsafe and they don't work. If you're really ready for a change, visit me now at www.passioncleanse.com. Free personal coaching and money back guaranteed.
Welcome back to Passion by Design. I'm Paula McChesney, here with Sandy Peckinpah and Dr. Gary Richman. So, Gary, we were talking before we went to break about the fear factor, the financial fear factor, the three Fs here, that seems to be really pervasive now. And let's talk about it particularly in couples. How can couples who are losing their homes, or, you know, have lost jobs, or, you know, .. Where are some of the things, what are some of the things that they can do?
Well, that's a huge question.
Yes,
we could take
is.
A weekend seminar on
yes,
that.
Yes, we could.
One of the things to realize is that there are certain aspects of reality going on mm-hmm. in terms of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows that. We're not saying anything that anyone doesn't know. But sometimes people forget that and take it personally that, you know, I did something wrong.
Oh, yes.
And so blame comes in.
Yeah,
and
I lost my job and therefore I'm a bad person.
Even worse than that, you didn't do this.
Oh,
right.
You lost your job,
yeah,
and therefore
and the
you're a bad guy.
Finger pointing goes,
oh,
and that's even worse.
That's true. Good point.
So, it's really tough. And one of what I tell patients is that and I work with a lot of couples, is the two hardest things for couples to talk about are budgeting and finances and sexual frequency.
Exactly.
And intimacy. And so those bring up lots of issues, yes, that poke buttons and so forth. And so when you're dealing with a really tough economy, that's poking one of the major buttons that all couples have. And again, brings up a fear base, because guess what? Even as you're doing spiritual practices, every time you turn on the news, they're telling you how bad it is.
Exactly.
And so you've really got to do a certain amount of sitting centered and blocking out some of what they're saying to just take in some of the data as to what to be aware of, mm-hmm, but not internalize it as I'm caught up in this swirling drain.
Or as truth.
Yes, that's going down, because the reality is, though we can't get one economist to agree on what we're supposed to do, the reality is things are getting somewhat better.
Yes.
We're not sure if we're masking it by all the bailouts, but we're hoping that it's moving in the right direction. And so what couples need to do is really stay in touch. And again, this kind of – some of this advice would be better given a year or two ago. But to be really watchful of what's going on, how they're handling their money, discussing, communicating, and processing and compromising in ways that really work. But if things are going really difficult now, because unfortunately you were right earlier when you said the baby boomers were brought up that if you work really hard, put in your time, you will – increase your assets, there'll be a certain retirement available, and your house is going to go up somewhere between, you know, $200,000 to $1 million by the time you're ready to retire, and you'll be fine. And a lot of baby boomers who early retired actually did that. Their houses went up, they sold them, they moved to middle Florida, bought a house outright, and they're there, but now their finances are less because of what happened to the stock market and so forth. So everyone is running a little scared. And you have to work at not bringing that into your home other than to really talk about it. And as I say to couples, put both of your backs against the same wall. How are we going to do this, not blame and shame?
I like that.
You know, how do we talk about this for our future to move us along? What works?
Yeah.
And what doesn't work? And if we haven't been particularly responsible, because a lot of our peers haven't, the reason we went into where we are through Wall Street and the mortgage issues were because everybody got greedy and kept thinking that there was no end to what we could do or how much greed one could have. And in terms of spiritual laws, we finally got smacked.
Yes.
You know, the yin and yang of things finally came home to roost and karma hit.
Yeah, that's really true. And Sandy, you were telling me a story even earlier today. And you work in the field of real estate. I'm on the designing home end, and you're on the selling home end. And share what you're seeing out there in that world. I think it's very, very poignant, if you would please.
Well, I think that the hardest thing for people to understand, and my job as a real estate agent, is to let them know it's not necessarily their fault that they feel such a sense of failure when suddenly their home, which, as you put it, Paula, was their biggest asset, is now their biggest liability. You know, the hope of that home increasing in value is not happening now. And so a lot of choices were made by thinking that, you know, inflation would continue and the home would continue to be the biggest asset. Well, I'm, you know, working with several people right now and several families, and I think the hardest thing that they deal with is they feel such a sense of personal failure. And I keep, you know, my job is to try to help them, walk them through the process to actually recognize that they accomplish many things in life. And the fact that their house is suddenly dropped in half in value is not something that they're personally responsible for. And Paula, you had a great suggestion for one of the people that I was working with, a mother who said, you know, I raised my son in this house. Well, hallelujah, the house served its purpose. She raised her son in this house, and he's now off to college. And with the economy, she suddenly was in a position of not being able to afford it anymore, and the loan adjusted, and, you know, life goes on. So, you know, I think that if we can look at those different periods in our life as transition periods taking us into the next place. I know when I suddenly was in a situation where, you know, my husband passed and I had to reinvent my life and make a career for my for myself in order to raise my children. I didn't know what I was going to do. I had been a homemaker my whole life, a mother, and suddenly I had to step up to the plate and figure out what I was going to do to take care of my children. And how miraculous that the answer started coming to me in the most unexpected ways, you know, comments by people. But I started to really listen. I started to listen to the people around me and what I was being told. And it helped me come to that realization that, okay, well, I see that I am in transition and I have to close one door for another to open. And that's what I did. And I think that's what people are doing now. They're being forced to look at that door and say, okay, right now I have to make a decision that is affecting the rest of my life. And if they can just step through that door and know that they're going to be okay, that's, boy, I wish I had the magic to make everybody feel that way.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sandy, I would take it even a step further. And Dr. Gary, you may or may not agree with me on this, but I would say that they're going to be not only okay, they're going to be better than ever.
Yes.
And I see this in you, Sandy, as a living example of your life, really you creating it to be amazing. You went beyond okay, and you went to amazing. And and I've watched you for the 20-some years more years than that we've known each other, but never mind. All these years that we've known each other, and you have created it a lot out of your intention. And I think that this is a very exciting time, very painful time, and yet a very exciting time, because I think many of us who are baby boomers, potentially with no change, would have carried on at their jobs, whether they liked them or not, would have retired at whatever retirement age is, and probably kind of gotten fat and bored, and, you know, that would have been it. That's not true for everybody. I'm obviously making a gross generalization, but we don't get to do that now. So what do we get to do? We get to reinvent ourselves.
Yeah.
So what would you say to that,
you know,
Dr. Gary?
One of the most important things that I did was surround myself with people that loved me. And you, of course, were a huge part of that. I mean, I've
Absolutely.
Often told you, you were my lifeline on a daily basis, because I would put in my call to Paula every morning and say, Paula, what am I going to do? I felt so alone, and suddenly I could pick up the phone and I wasn't so alone. And I think if we can urge people to surround themselves with people who love them and support each other, my goodness.
There's a number of things you both have said that we could comment on. One of them is that we need to help people not feel that they're blamed. We go so easily to self-criticism. And we need to help people understand that though they're in a difficult time, maybe if their house is underwater or they're having to get rid of it, it wasn't their fault that the economy turned around. There may not have been anything they did to do that or could have done. And so we have to help them understand they're in a difficult place, as many people are, but it may not be particularly or singularly their fault. The second thing that was brought up that's so important is support. We need to keep people close to us always. Men need men friends, which is very hard for them to talk about things that go on in terms of being a male in the world. And women need women friends, as you guys are. And you need to reach out. There's something on this peninsula called Breakthrough, which is an area where men come together to talk about various ways in which they've been brought up and socialized to not be as sensitive or in touch with who they are, and learn to be able to share with other men kind of what their realities are, instead of feeling like they're somehow being, you know, weak or losers. And so support is incredibly important, because we can lean on others, and that's what friendship is. And it's important to do. And also, one of the things that Anthony Robbins, who's a motivational speaker, said, says. He says, you don't have to create the formula. You have to find someone exactly. who has been successful with the formula and then let them mentor you.
Yeah.
Mm. And so that's kind of what you said you did, Sandy. And mentoring is a very important part of what's going on. Talk to your friends who are good at finances, good at investing, good at negotiating even with banks, you know, or have been through something similar maybe and come through it, or people you know who are fathers or surrogate fathers who have been around for a while and can attend to some of this, or for women, surrogate mothers. But those mentors are really important. And the hard part to communicate here is because so many people could say, well, it worked for you guys, but you guys are just being Pollyannish. It doesn't really happen that way. And the reality is, no, it can, but you have to attend to some very specific things. One is, remember who you are. Don't lose faith in yourself. And you as a couple as well. Two, remember the things that make you feel connected, intimate, and successful as an individual or as a couple. Those things are important. And two, to understand, as we're hearing from every commentator and every source that is considered one of the credible sources in economics or whatever, who are saying one of the realities of this time is, as you've been saying, Paula, we do have to reinvent ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the reality is we may not be as affluent. We may not have as many toys. We may not be able to have as many fun things around. But as we kind of titrate down to a lesser downsized, if you will, is a very familiar term to retirees, downsized to a more appropriate house, a more appropriate lifestyle, more appropriate toys that don't stress us and cause our credit to be just pushed around, we are going to be able to breathe. We are going to be able to center. We are going to be able to relax because we're not so worried every second if we're going to be paying all these bills that are coming in. And after you reinvent that, I've had a lot of patients who said, you know, I was living in the multi-million dollar house, but then I had a, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 mortgage, and I had to get rid of it. And we're renting a house for $2,500, and I can't believe I'm sleeping every night.
Yes.
Wow.
It's not that they wanted to let go of the house so much, but we were living delusionally. And unfortunately, you can only live delusionally for so long before reality hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, very, Gary, that's a really good point.
Very, very true. And, you know, I think that's one of our messages. And it seems with Passion by Design, in a way, the subtitle of our book is Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life. And in a way, it seems like a paradox because people could say, well, what are these women? They're just saying, well, I just go out and spend all this money decorating my bedroom and my life's going to be better. Well, my mortgage is due and they're crazy. The real subtle message that we want to get across is that when you do the things, you focus on those simple pleasures. There are many messages, but one of them is when you focus on those simple joys in life, which is having beauty around you, waking up in a beautiful, soft light that flatters your body so that, oh, by the way, you feel good about yourself, or a wonderful lavender fragrance on your pillow when you go to sleep, or, you know, any number of these things. If you share a delicious, you know, chocolate-dipped strawberry with your lover, these are some simple, small things that we can do because as human beings, we do a lot of human doing. You know, we're hardwired to do it. And it's great to say, well, be a being, don't be a doing. Well, we are wired to do stuff. So we've really created a guide and a manual, very fun, very playful, to give you some of those things to do, which are going to make you feel better, which will almost paradoxically work from the outside in, will make you feel better inside. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that is sometimes difficult for people to understand when they just look at the surface of, you know, redecorate your bedroom, reinvent your love life. So it's a different approach.
That's really so true because one of the things that you're mentioning here is to re-embrace the simple.
Exactly.
When we do simple, we remind ourselves of the enjoyment we get out of the little pleasures. And we lose that in a heavy technological, work-oriented, as you say, human doing basis, mm-hmm. where we're only as happy as our next toy, only as happy as our next thing we acquire, mm-hmm. only as happy as other people envy us. Mm-hmm. And that's so not anything that has to do with being a human being. Mm-hmm. And that's what's caused us to be in the situation we are now. And what, in essence, the universe is reminding us is to step back into your being, into your heart, mm-hmm. into your relationship, and remember those simple things that touch and appreciate your sense of wanting to be there, mm-hmm. and to reclaim that.
Mm-hmm. And I find, you know, something that I play with, I love the term mindfulness. And Sandy, you and I talk about this a lot. And I'm playing with something that I'm calling mindful appreciation and mindful gratitude. And it makes things so rich and so full. And oh, by the way, just as an aside, I love your name, Rich Man. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, Gary.
I intentioned before that. I came in.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. But you know,
Paula,
Sam,
you know, one of the things that reminded me of those simple pleasures being in Italy, we had the privilege of spending time with two Italian families there that lived life in very simplified way, but very rich. They don't have a lot of things around their home. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They don't have the toys. They get down to the bare necessities, and in their homes were tables and chairs, and you know the dining area is the most important, and having enough chairs there for anybody who wants to join them. And we went after a long day in Venice. Our friend called his son Paolo and said, make a pizza for us, make a pizza. So we get to their home, and it's, you know, a tiny little kitchen, but they had the table spread out the entire length with plates set everywhere, glasses of wine, fresh pizza. Paolo had made his own crust, and let me tell you, they don't do a thick crust in Italy.
Stop, you're killing us on this side.
I know, we're delicious. It's thin crust pizza with fresh tomato sauce that he had made, and fresh buffalo cheese, and we must have sat there for hours over pizza and fennel and wine and salad and all of these wonderful fresh ingredients, and it was delightful, and there was not a reason to have anything expensive or a toy or anything around other than these people, beautiful food, and great conversation.
Mm. Yeah, it's really about the quality, not the quantity of things. Mm-hmm. I think only in America could they do the bumper sticker, he who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah.
You know, I keep telling them they're just dead.
They're just dead already. Oh, that Sandy, you're making me salivate. I'm sitting here just drooling, listening to that description.
Oh, the food. There's nothing. I love food. And you know, Paula,
yes,
you and I both love to cook so much. And eating family dinners and food has always been a keystone of my family. And my children always said that they never got into trouble during school because they knew that they had to come home to the family dinner.
Well, actually, you're laughing, Sandy, but actually in the literature, they say that especially with teenagers, one of the ways to keep kind of connected and a consistency of family and family values is by having dinner each night and talking about things and getting things more open. So you're correct.
Interesting.
You did good.
You done good, honey.
I'm so proud of my children because they have all said that's a tradition they want to carry on because they said, you know, Mom, a lot of our friends, they just have dinner. The mother puts it out on the counter and says, eat when you feel like it, or they eat in front of the television. And, you know, people do what they're capable of doing. But because I love cooking, I was capable of cooking meals every night because I loved it. I passionately loved it. But I didn't know that inadvertently I was doing something that actually kept my kids on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. Well, I think it's not even the straight and narrow. I think it's the broad and creative, and you allowed them to be who they are. And what I think children want to be and people want to be is fully loved and embraced, and that's what is in your home. And, you know, all the many, many, many meals that I've shared with you, it's that love and embracing. It's not that you forced him to do anything on a straight and narrow. It's you loved him, you embraced him, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, Sandy, that's just part of the magic of what a wonderful mother you are. And you have kind of an intuitive sense on one hand about being a mother, and you also have done a lot of work about it and put in a lot of intention to do the best for these children who are in your charge. And I salute you, my friend, and applaud you for that.
Oh, Paula, well, thank you. I'm so complimented by that.
Well, it's very true. So, Dr. Gary, we've got a few more minutes left, and what would be some things that you would want to say further about what people can do and some practices, and how do they reach you, by the way?
A couple of ways. One, here on the peninsula, you can reach me at our area code is 831 and 626-9164, and I also have a website, Dr. Gary Richman, RICHMAN.com.
Okay, good.
And we've mentioned a lot of things about ways of checking back in, remembering who you are, but that really is the key. Shakespeare said it best, to thine own self be true. If you check into your truth, which is not in your intellect, and one of the best ways to know you're in your truth is when you have this intangible, what's called either instinct or gut sense or intuition, and your mind starts to debate it. It would be where, because the intangible is what truth is. You can't logic it, linear it. You can't figure out why you feel that that's the way you're supposed to go, because feelings aren't subject to linear. So as soon as your mind starts to debate it, oh no, that can't possibly work, that shouldn't do that, no one will appreciate me if I do that, your mind is attempting, your intellect is attempting to out-logic your truth because it's intangible. So go to what is the object on the other side of your mind's debate. That's your truth. And it will seem not possible. But the more you trial and error that, you will say, oh no, that can't be possible, da da da. And then you go the opposite way. And somewhere down that path, it hits you that that was a mistake. So you want to remember the resonance and vibration of where your truth comes from. It'll be like staring at a crossroads. One has a well-lit, paved, highway that's got all the great signs. You couldn't possibly get lost. And there's another part of the highway that is unpaved, potholes, dark, looks scary. And something in you says, I really need to go that way. And everything in you is going to go, are you kidding? It's light over
crazy?
Here. You
yeah.
can get there much quicker. There are potholes here. Your car will break down. That's your linear intellect attempting to out-debate your truth. And if you follow your truth, I guarantee you, almost every time, if not every time, it will be correct. Is it a barometer without flaw? And so to remember who you are, trust in the faith of who you are and how you get things done. What are your passions? What are your skills? What have you been successful at and why? It will help you during these times.
That's
great
advice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that. I'm really soaking that in, because there are so many times when my brain goes, oh, but blah, 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 oh, it's not logical, it's this. And this little voice inside me is saying, but it's really what you want to do.
Exactly.
And, part of getting older is listening more to that little voice and trusting that little voice, even when it sometimes doesn't look like it makes any sense at all.
It won't make sense. It just is.
Yeah, it just is. Oh, my goodness. Sandy, I have to allude back to the story you shared about the GPS. We should have a truth GPS, because when they were in Italy, tell us what you were telling me about the GPS.
I was saying, well, we had a
so
car
funny.
In Italy that we used it. I was saying, never use a GPS in ancient cities, because it doesn't recognize whether a road is actually only 5 feet wide or 20 feet wide. And it took us down this corridor in Perugia, which is a 15th or 16th century town, cobblestones and everything. And it took us up this tiny little road, so we couldn't see beyond it because it was a hill. And apartments on either side, these tall stone buildings that have been there since the 16th century. And all of a sudden, we get to the point where we realize, oh, no, we can't go anywhere. the road kept getting narrower and narrower and narrower, and there was literally 1 inch on either side of our car. We couldn't get out of the car. We couldn't open the window, and we could actually reach out and touch the walls. They were right there, and so we ended up having to back it down, and luckily, my fiancé, in his youth, backed out horse trailers and figured out and knows exactly how to back out. He said horse trailers are harder, and he backed it out an inch at a time. But I'm telling you, it was the funniest thing because and I think sometimes that's a great metaphor for life too, because sometimes you're going uphill and you have no idea where you're going to end up until you get there.
Oh, Sandy, that is such a great story. Thank you for that. Well, we've got just another few minutes, and I want to read something that Marianne Williamson from The Course of Miracles, I believe, we attribute to. And it is our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to manifest the glory of God that is within us all. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. Dr. Gary, thank you so much for being our guest today. We're going to have you back. We've got lots more to talk about.
Thank you for having me.
Been a real pleasure. And our hour is already coming to a close. So we invite you to call on our sponsors and let them know you heard about us on Passion by Design on KNRY. And please visit our website, which is www.passionbydesign.com, where you'll find more information about living your life with passion, and pick up a copy of our book. It's pretty darn good. We're available on Amazon, and it's available on our website, and if you ask for it in bookstores, you can get it as well. So I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah. Join us next week, Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 on AM 1240. KNRY for another hour of Passion by Design.
Community radio for the Central Coast.
AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.